Covering the crew all season long, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from American Family Field, here's your host, Greg Matzek.
Well, what else can you say? Kind of a boring game at American Family Field. The Brewers fall 3-0 to the Toronto Blue Jays in game two of their three-game series. Milwaukee now 39-28 on the season. They hang on to their first place stranglehold of the NL Central. We'll go through a walk around the league coming up a little later in the program. Yeah, kind of a boring game tonight. Not a lot of highlights to speak of. Really a game of missed opportunities for the Brewers. And a little bit of fascination with the Major League debut of Carlos Rodriguez. We'll get into his night and the lack of timely hitting for the Milwaukee Brewers offense on the program tonight. We'll take you till about 11 o'clock tonight at 855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us. 855-616-1620. Craig Kishon is going to join us coming up as he wraps up his TV duties. Start with Carlos Rodriguez. Brought up from AAA. And this has kind of been the norm here for the Brewers throughout the course of the season. Yet another starting pitcher thrust into duty because of a dire situation in the Brewers' rotation. Robert Gassel, the latest to exit due to injury. It's not likely he's going to be back if I'm understanding Pat Murphy correctly. There have been multiple opinions on his elbow. There's some discomfort there for the long term of his career. Probably best that he take a seat, at least for the time being. So enter Carlos Rodriguez, a Nicaraguan-born player, just the 16th Nicaraguan-born player to pitch in the major leagues. He comes in, and this sometimes goes one of two ways, right? The new guy comes in, he's all jacked up, can't find the strike zone, all over the place, gets shelled. It just, you know, the jitters. It maybe settles in eventually, but damage has been done. Or it's like we saw from Robert Gasser or Freddie Peralta back when he made his start on Mother's Day in Colorado a few years back. Dominance, complete dominance, because the hitters on the other side have never had any live experience against the guy. Well, what you got tonight was something sort of in between. 3 2/3 innings for Rodriguez, 7 hits allowed, so there was contact. Some of it was loud-ish contact. There was a double. There's a lot of singles against Rodriguez tonight, 4 strikeouts and a walk. And 2 earned runs allowed. But overall, he was fine. Nothing great. It was not the Robert Gasser start we saw earlier this year. And it was certainly far short of dreadful for Carlos Rodriguez. Keep in mind, he's 22. So he steps in, and he goes 1-2-3 in the first inning, mowing through the Jays' order without real issue. In the second inning, well, they get him for a run after a double by Varsho. George Springer ended up singling him home, and the Blue Jays were on the board. Third inning, he was able to get out of a bases-loaded jam. And then the fourth inning, he comes out, ultimately allows a second run, and Pat Murphy decides to go into the bullpen. So 3 2/3, the final line for Rodriguez. I don't know if he gets another start. Maybe he does. Maybe they kind of platoon him back and forth a little bit. Brewers are having to get creative a little with their pitching rotation, given all the injuries they have right now. But I thought he was fine. It was, again, nothing really earth-shattering, nothing overly disappointing. The disappointing aspect of tonight's game was 0-for-12 in scoring position. That's what the Brewers were. When they had runners in scoring position, the big hit was elusive for the Brewers tonight. 855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us here on the offense, on the start from Rodriguez on this 3-0 loss to the Blue Jays in game two of a three-game series. Just getting started here on Brewers Extra Innings. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Craig Matzek again for Dom Catronio. It's Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. 3-0 the final. Brewers fall to the Blue Jays. And really not much of anything to speak of here for the Brewers on offense. Aside of missed opportunities, well, it seems like anytime I'm doing this show, we talk to Craig Kishon about missed opportunities. We welcome in Craig Kishon from Bally Sports Wisconsin. Can't say the Brewers didn't have enough chances tonight, Craig. It started right away in the first inning, and it continued through the ninth inning with two on and nobody out. The elusive big hit tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers could have been a very different game. It's certainly a winnable game for the Brewers, given the start of Carlos Rodriguez.
kind of reminded me a little bit of really that Philly series last week, Greg, when, you know, you get into, you know, eighth inning, ninth inning, it's a two-run game, three-run game at worst. But certainly you get a couple on and, you know, try to get something going. I think tonight, really, my biggest takeaway, you know, besides the 0-for-12 with runners in scoring position, is I didn't see the typical game-by-game, a little more situational hitting. I think the effort tonight wasn't quite there in that category for some reason. Maybe it was just an off night, not sure. Sometimes I think things like this happen, too, when you're just not used to facing a team or a pitcher, you know, very often at all when you're talking about interleague play. So certainly not to make excuses because, you know, numbers don't lie. We've seen a lot of 0-for-a-ton with runners in scoring position this year. And, you know, 5 times shutout already. I mean, that's a lot for a pretty good offense if you think about it.
Well, no doubt. And, you know, you get that eighth inning and you've got runners on first and second, nobody out. Yelich leads off the double. Adames gets a walk, setting the stage for Rhys Hoskins. And I'm sure he's kicking himself right now. He got a center cut fastball and flew out to right field. Not quite deep enough for Yelich to tag. Maybe he gets in there, but with him being on second, he's going to score on most base hits, and that's what it would have taken to get him home. But you're still in a position where there's one out. I thought anything was a terrible at-bat by Hoskins. He just missed a pitch that I think he would ordinarily drive. And then he had the pinch hit. Gary Sanchez had kind of a rough night tonight. Didn't have good success against the pitcher on the mound, so you go to Sal Frelick. Puts the ball in play. Again, but shallow to left field. And Blake Perkins, if you want to call him the offensive hero of the night or a star, he had a couple of hits, and that's about all we're looking at, ends up striking out. But, you know, again, those are good hitters up in that situation, guys who can make contact with the ball, just not quite enough, right? There's a difference between ball in play and a run producing out, and the Brewers just couldn't quite get to that point.
Yeah, and I think like in Hoskins' case there in the eighth inning, you know, Adames worked a really good walk. He had a terrible strike called on him out of the zone, and he still worked a walk. So, you know, Hoskins went after that very first pitch. So those are the ones that sting a little bit more, I think, especially when they're just not a productive out, as it turned out. So, you know, somehow you got to move those base runners over. But they did come up with the double steal. So, I mean, the thing that I thought that this team lacked tonight was energy and juice and aggressiveness. And that was a thing of beauty, if you think about it, especially with, you know, with Frelick up there at the plate, you know, batting left and leaving, you know, the path to attempt over at third base to try to get Yelich, you know, wide open. That worked out well. But then, you know, they just hit a dud after that trying to get anybody home.
Is it different in your mind, Craig, if it's Rhys Hoskins going after the first pitch in that situation or a younger player like Jackson Chourio?
You know, I kind of look at it this way. Hoskins has not found a real groove yet. Now, I know that he was injured for a bit, but he was only out for a couple of weeks. He shouldn't be batting 230. I mean, that's not where he normally would be. However, he missed all of last season. So I think he's going through some learning pains here right now. I don't know. I think late in the game, the only time that I really would excuse anybody of going after the first pitch is when, you know, a pitcher's coming in right out of the bullpen. A lot of guys just love hacking at that first pitch because it's going to be a fastball, you know, right down the middle of the plate. Yes, Hoskins missed that one. I'm sure that's his forte, but he just isn't in a groove either, especially from the power standpoint. I think, you know, the team needs a little bit more, and I think it'll come for Hoskins. Like I said, you know, missing a full year and new team and all that, he's going to have better days. There's no question about that, but I don't know. Interesting point, Chourio. I think we'd be all over him if he went after the first pitch on that one and flew out.
855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us here. Brewers just five hits on the night. And, yeah, lacking juice. That double steal in the eighth was kind of a wake-up. Like, okay, well, maybe you're still in this thing. But, again, just elusive was that timely hit tonight for the Brewers. 0 for 12 with runners in scoring position. Blue Jays didn't exactly beat the ball around the yard. Nine hits, kind of sprayed about, scattered about. With a run in the second, fourth, and then a bit of an insurance run in the ninth. And that was all they needed to pull off the victory. We'll take your thoughts and conversation coming up on the other side. We'll continue with Craig Cashon as well on Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Nothing the final. The Brewers stumble tonight on the home field. They have now split the first two games of their series with the Toronto Blue Jays. Rubber match comes tomorrow afternoon, and we'll see what becomes of this Brewers rotation as the season continues and we hurtle toward the All-Star break. Wanted to ask you about Carlos Rodriguez tonight, Craig. My personal view was, you know, sometimes it goes haywire, pitcher never settles in, first major league start, he's all over the place, can't find the strike zone, he gets hit around. Sometimes you see dominance, like we did out of Robert Gassert, if you want to go further back, Freddy Peralta. This was sort of a nondescript in-between, but at the end of the day, the guy kept you in it in his first major league start.
Yeah, he did. I'm sure he was capable of going a little more than 3 2/3, but he was starting to turn that lineup over again. And I think that he did pretty well, to be honest with you. I mean, I look at that great start in the first inning, first batter strikeout, 1-2-3 first, strikes out the first batter he faces in that second inning, then gives up a double single and another single. And all of a sudden now he's behind. It's a 1-0 game. But, was able to rebound and hold that damage down to just a run. And then in the third, again, bases loaded, one out, and he doesn't give up any runs there. He got a big strikeout for out number two against Varsho, and then got Turner to pop up. So, he learned some things those first three innings. Hey, 1-2-3 first, life is not that easy, as it turns out, in the majors. And what are you going to do to negotiate your way through? Not surprised he was pulled in the fourth after giving up that second run. But I don't think there was a lot of hard contact at all. I think he only gave up, if I'm looking at this right, just one extra base hit. So, I mean, a couple of walks or whatever it turned out to be, one walk. I mean, that's not bad. He got his feet wet, Greg, and he's 22 years old. Let's face it, if the Brewers weren't so desperate to continue to reach within their organization for starting pitching here right now due to all the injuries, he probably wasn't penciled in to be here during spring training, maybe at all. He was only at Double A year ago. You got to give him credit. He started the year at Triple A. His first, few starts, 4, 5, 6 starts were not great. He was still getting his feet on the ground there, facing better hitters at a higher level. And then they worked with him. He made some, mechanical adjustments. I think his last 5, 6, 7 starts were really good. His ERA was under 3. So he's somebody that can be taught. He's coachable. I think he's going to be fine here, and I quite honestly, I think they expect him to make at least another start here. I think they'd like to count on him, and we'll see what happens here over the next few days.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see how far this goes. Right, you've got Tobias Myers scheduled for tomorrow. Freddie in that opener against the Cincinnati Reds. Bryce Wilson is listed here. Who knows? They might use an opener again at some point. Jared Koenig was great again tonight. He's been effective in that role when called upon. Then Colin Ray to close out the Cincinnati series. And right now the Brewers do not have a starter listed for the game Monday, June 17th, in Los Angeles against the Angels. And that would be his next time up in the rotation here for Rodriguez. So we'll see if they end up slotting him there. The fact that it's open right now, it would be tough to make that a bullpen day given where Bryce Wilson is pitching on Saturday, June 15th. So all signs point to Rodriguez making at least one more start here for the Brewers. It's not like the Brewers have a lot of off days either, Craig, where they can manipulate the rotation and, you know, sort of build in an extra day for somebody else. They don't really have that luxury here. This is a pretty lengthy run of games through the 4th of July and beyond.
Yeah, and I know they have Thursday off coming up here this week, and that's, you know, that's it for a stretch. But, I mean, here's the thing. I don't think that they're in a spot at all, to be honest with you, where they have to go to a bullpen game. They might go with an opener here and there if they think it's the right fit. That has worked. But I think there's enough depth, and I think there's enough, you know, guys that are on the verge of coming back here in the next couple of weeks as starters that, you know, can slide back in. You know, it's a real luxury to have what this team developed and put together for 2024. They knew that, you know, Burns was leaving. They knew they weren't going to have Woody. And I'm just talking about starting pitching here right now. They've done a tremendous job of, you know, developing the young guys, developing guys that, you know, someone else's trash is your treasure. We've seen guys like that. We've seen some eye-opening pickups. These guys are still able to pitch pretty well for this club. And I mean, let's face it, not everybody works out. They've released some guys along the way too, but I think, you know, the tremendous depth that they have with guys who can still start and still be effective and not asked to go six or seven innings every time, especially if they're not pitching well. They've got depth in that bullpen. So what they put together is pretty remarkable, and it's not exactly what they've done in recent years either. This is definitely a different way of going about it because their starting rotation just isn't as strong as it used to be.
855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us here on the program. We'll step back, and I want to get Craig's thoughts on Garrett Mitchell, who is inching closer here to a return. Not imminent, right? It's not tomorrow, but he's getting there. And what will the Brewers do? Some roster decisions on the horizon here for the Brewers. By the way, Rodriguez, the eighth Brewer to make his Major League debut this season, which is a pretty crazy amount, and the 12th starter used, and we're not even close to the halfway point of the season, so it just kind of gives you an idea what the Brewers have been dealing with. 3-0 the final here. Brewers fall to the Blue Jays. Craig and I are back after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
For the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. Commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. It's Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Greg Matzik and Craig Cashon with you from Bally Sports Wisconsin. Brewers fall to the Blue Jays tonight, 3-0 the final, just five hits for the Brewers scattered about. A couple in the eighth inning, runners on first and second with nobody out, but Milwaukee 0-for-12 with runners in scoring position tonight. Want to talk about Garrett Mitchell, Craig. So the rehab assignment is underway. So Garrett Mitchell begins his rehab assignment, and he's out in Arizona kind of doing his thing. He'll work his way back to the roster at some point, and who knows? Maybe he's got a setback, maybe he's accelerated a little bit. But regardless, you can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel here for Garrett Mitchell. My wonder is, and maybe his rehab assignment will help dictate how quickly he's inserted into a prominent role in the lineup, where does he fit? Or maybe a better question, where does Sal Frelick fit when Mitchell comes back?
I mean, those are really good points. And I don't have a real clear answer other than, you know, quite honestly, a couple of things in my mind come up really first and foremost. First of all, there's no reason to A, rush him back, or B, just give him a position. He doesn't have a lot of major league experience under his belt. He's got a lot of potential, but so do a lot of these other guys who have, you know, been here all year, and some of the guys that made their debuts last year, like Frelick. And we know that Jackson Churio isn't going anywhere. So, you know, and you got to give kudos to Blake Perkins. He's played his way into, really a starting role. He's a valuable switch hitter. He's a tremendous outfielder, center fielder. So I think, you know, the old adage of baseball is they always say it'll work out. And two things happen when it'll work out, which means, you know, somebody's going to start slumping or someone's going to, you know, hit a fork in the road and maybe take the wrong path, or someone's going to get hurt. And you never wish that upon anybody, but we certainly know it's just part of the game. So that's kind of how I'm looking at this. And there's still going to be time before any of that has to, you know, that decision has to be made. I think Mitchell, you know, I would guess, a smart guess would be, you know, at least a couple of weeks down the road. I think they really want to give him some consistent at-bats at the AAA level, you know, hopefully starting as early as next week. And I think consistent at-bats means, you know, playing at least a full week or maybe a little bit more and finding a groove and proving that you're healthy first and foremost. I mean, you know, the lack of being healthy has just been a tremendous nemesis in his entire career. He just hasn't played a full season of any kind in a long, long time. So, you know, we always wish the best for guys like him. He's a good guy. He's got tremendous upside. He's really talented. But staying healthy is something that he positively has had a hard time with and has to prove, because if you're not healthy, you're just not going to play at this level.
And keep in mind, Sal Frelick, they were working him at third base throughout the course of spring training, and that's because they were trying to carve out a spot for Jackson Churio. Mitchell had a nice offseason. He entered camp as a likely option to take the center field job. And then, oh, by the way, Blake Perkins asserted himself. He's lapped Joey Weimer in the hierarchy of Brewers outfielders. And Christian Yelich is having a great season. He's your permanent left fielder. Can move around if you need him to. So I will be curious. I think you said something that always tends to be the case. Things sort of seem to work out for whatever reason. It just does seem to work out. When you appear to have a log jam somewhere, well, you end up making a move. I remember the Brewers had a log jam at first base a few years ago. What to do with G-Man Choi and Jesus Aguilar? Who are all these guys? How do you do this? How do you triangulate it all? Well, they ended up making a trade. I think they got Brad Miller back because they needed a second baseman because there was an injury concern for a team that had ideas of making it to the postseason. So you're right, Craig. I think things do tend to work out. It's interesting to look at it on paper, though, because we haven't seen Sal Frelick play third since spring training. Not exactly sure he's getting a lot of reps there during the course of, you know, batting practice and whatnot either, and they're doing their infield drills. So that would be a big-time blow the dust off the third baseman's glove for Sal Frelick. So I'm curious, as you are, to see where this nets out.
Well, and, you know, the other thing, you mentioned Frelick, you know, over at third. I mean, I don't see that happening right now because we're into June and he really hasn't done anything over there. But I tell you what, you know, something to keep your eye on. If Joey Ortiz is going to miss any kind of time, he was scratched from tonight's game because of a hamstring issue, and they're not going to know at least until tomorrow how severe that is. I don't think they're thinking that it's overly serious, but hamstrings are nothing you want to mess with. We all understand that. But man, what a blow if he is not able to play third base. This guy has just quietly been in that hot corner there and been so valuable in every single aspect of these baseball games here so far this season. You just you know, cross your fingers and hope that, you know, it's not going to be serious, because I mean, Oliver Dunn can play over there, but Joey Ortiz, you got to give him a lot of credit. He's made a name for himself and carved out a niche on how valuable he is to this team right now.
855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us here on the program. We'll come back and hear from Brewers manager Pat Murphy. We'll sign off from Craig Cashon here of Bally Sports Wisconsin. Appreciate it, Craig. We'll check in again soon.
All right, sounds good, Greg. Take care.
Yep, you too. Have yourself a great night. Shout out to Lane Grindle, who's probably driving home right now. 3-0. Brewers fall to the Blue Jays at American Family Field. Rubber match tomorrow afternoon. We'll detail that matchup and hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, after this on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Well, is your AC unit more than 10 years old through June 15th? That's coming up. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you $1,500. That's right. They'll save you $1,500 on a new unit. Visit Sider.com. Schedule an appointment today. That's Seider.com for Sider. Greg Matzik here. Brewers fall to the Blue Jays. 3-0 the final. Just 5 hits for the Brewers. 0-for-12 with runners in scoring position. He also had the Major League debut of Carlos Rodriguez. 3 2/3 innings pitched. He allowed 3 earned runs, 7 hits. Just 1 extra base hit. Was able to wiggle out of a jam in the third inning. A bases loaded jam. So some good things from Carlos Rodriguez. And I would venture a guess that he'll likely start against the Los Angeles Angels coming up next week. The Brewers, for the first game of that series anyway, do not have a starter listed, and that falls on his date in a regular rotation. All of that summarized by Pat Murphy. Brewers manager met with the media following tonight's game.
Yeah, no question. He was great. You know, I'm really pleased. I thought he threw the ball well. I thought he showed tremendous poise. I was very pleased with what I saw. 22-year-old kid, come out there and do what he did. Gets a really good lineup. I thought he handled himself very, very well. Didn't seem like a rookie at all. Didn't seem like first timer. I was encouraged.
What about the stuff, Murph? Like, what do you think? Like, for foundation for first time out?
No doubt. I mean, he'd take a few pitches back, but his fastball was very, very good, especially at the top. His changeup looked good at times. Slider was, very, very good at times. So I thought, all in all, 22-year-old kid coming up here pitching the way he did, I thought he looked very, very good. Encouraged by it.
Made some big pitches in that second inning, too, just to get out of that inning. Does that kind of stand out to you, having that poise?
No, I mean, he did. His first inning, I kind of was like, wow. I mean, this young man, he's ready to go. You know, I didn't think the heater played that well. You know what I mean? And I'm like, maybe it was just adrenaline. But then in the second inning, same thing. His heater played good at the top of the zone, and I threw some good sliders, and I was really encouraged.
What did you see from there, starting Kikuchi, that made him effective tonight?
It's lights out, man. He was it. Fastball from down here at 97 consistently, and I was impressed by him for sure. A little bit of effectively wild, but in a premium stuff, and they made some great plays behind him. Varsho got a jump on 2 balls that was, doubles in other parks at times, but Varsho did a great job out there, and Kikuchi should. Feel great about it. I know he got a high pitch count, but he was great for 5. Their staff was great too. They came in and did a great job.
You guys still found yourself with some chances, I think first and second, 4 times, early innings in that game. Do you feel like it was Kikuchi and those guys kind of wiggling their way out, or did you guys leave something out there that you want?
I mean, I think that, he made some big pitches at big times. Same with their relief staff, did the same thing. We had our opportunities and didn't break through. So we can go back and look at the video and see if we left the zone or if we.
What's coming up for Rodriguez? You will stay at the rotation the next week, or maybe we'll have some.
We'll talk about that. We don't know for sure. I think he pitched well enough to get more chances to pitch here.
What's the update on Ortiz?
Ortiz has a slight hamstring strain, and we didn't want to take any chances. So we'll get evaluated tomorrow and go from there. Hopefully it's not long-term in any way.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy following tonight's game hinted that Carlos Rodriguez could make another start and would fall next week against the Angels as they begin a 3-game series. Tobias Myers gets the start for the Brewers tomorrow. He was brilliant in his last outing, going 8 innings and allowing just, one hit over eight innings in a Brewers win. So he gets the start tomorrow for Milwaukee as they wrap up a three-game series with the Blue Jays. Our coverage will get underway at 12:35. Happy to sit in for Dom Catronio. He'll be back. Don't worry. Dom's just got a Tuesday thing going on, so expect some fill-ins throughout the rest of the year as Dom handles some national broadcasts on TBS. But he'll be back. Hopefully the Brewers will bounce back tomorrow in Game 3. For Max Meyerson, I'm Greg Matzik, signing off of Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.